The AgeCo Guide to Making the Most of Later Life.
Hello and welcome to the first ever podcast from AgeCo. I'm Chloe John, a partnership manager here at AgeCo. Over the next few months, we plan to bring you a series of podcasts covering the topics that matter in what we hope is an engaging and helpful way with our trusted partners and experts. We'll be discussing everything from staying independent to ensuring the things that matter and the different ways to make the most of your later life. We're starting with the topic of divorce with legal experts Erwin Mitchell, our trusted partner for AgeCo Legal Services. What are the things you need to think about if you're considering taking that step? And what the arrival of the new no-fault divorce laws in April 2022 might mean for couples? I'd like to introduce family law specialist Sarah Balfour and Emma McCann, estate planning expert.
Hi, Chloe.
Hi, Chloe. Thank you.
It's great to speak to you both today and to talk about such an important thing as divorce in later life. As I mentioned, a new no-fault divorce law came into place in April 2022. We will be going into a bit more detail on exactly what this new law involves, what it changes, and what it doesn't. Divorce is rarely easy. It affects everything: families, finances, futures, homes, and emotions, and is not a step people take lightly. To start us off, Sarah, firstly, could you tell us more about no-fault divorce, what's changed, and what is likely to be the impact of this, particularly for the older generation?
So before April, when the law changed, we were a long way behind in this country in terms of our divorce laws. The legislation that deals with divorce or dealt with divorce dated from 1973. And it meant that if you wanted to divorce in this country and you wanted it to be immediate without having to wait for at least 2 years' time, you had to cite the fault of your partner, of your spouse. So you had to say that they had either committed adultery, or you had to give a list of their unreasonable behaviour in order to obtain divorce. And sadly, that left to lots of situations where people had just grown apart. They'd made an amicable decision that it was best for everyone concerned if they would separate, but they were left with archaic divorce laws that meant that they had to blame the other person. There's been many years of campaigning by various people involved in the family law industry, including this firm and an organisation called Resolution, that is the Association of Family Lawyers. And we've all been asking for the law to be changed to come into step, really, with society now. And at long last, this has happened. And we now have the ability for consenting adults to reach an amicable conclusion that their relationship is at an end and to divorce without blaming the other person. So from that perspective, no-fault divorce is exactly what it says on the tin. People are able to come to that mutual decision, or you can come to a decision on your own that you want a marriage to end, and you can do so without blaming anyone else, following what is now a relatively straightforward process that can be all completed online. So that's no-fault divorce, Chloe.
Lovely. And would you be able to just go into a little bit more detail on kind of the impact, especially on the older generation, and how that might come into play?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I think it's fair to say that when I first set out in my career, the perception was that once people had reached a certain age and stage of their lives, they wouldn't separate and they certainly wouldn't divorce, because they thought that, you know, marriage was for life. And I think I've certainly seen that change a lot in recent times. Divorce has become more acceptable within society and within every demographic of society, particularly amongst older individuals who now understand that, you know, life can be short, and happiness and being in a happy marriage is vitally important, and that can breed happiness personally, but also for your family and for your children. So I think no-fault divorce makes it less controversial, less difficult for older people wanting to divorce to take that step, because they know that there don't have to be any difficult conversations, you don't have to blame, you can just reflect the nature of your relationship and in your marriage. In terms of issues on divorce that affect older people, I think that sometimes divorcing at a particular age and stage in your life can be a bit more difficult. You perhaps have acquired more by way of assets over the years. You know, if you separate when you're relatively young, you may not have a house yet, but if you separate when you're older, you probably will have a house. You may have some pensions that you've amassed along the way. So there are financial aspects of separating. You can also, with things like pensions, if you divorce when you're younger, you may have the opportunity to refill the pot. So you may have some years where you're still working and you can make up any shortfall that you have. If you're divorcing when you're older, you may be more worried about that ability to refill the pot. And so what you've got perhaps needs to go further. You need to be really, really certain that you've got enough for the rest of your life, which will hopefully be a very long period of time. So taking important and early financial and legal advice is incredibly important to our more mature clients. It's also important for them to look at things as a whole. And I very often, and Emma will jump in here, but I often see older clients who are divorcing as going through something akin to a bereavement. And there are a number of emotional and practical aspects that come with it. People may have been used to playing a very particular role within their marriage. They may have been the one that was the breadwinner, or they may have been the homemaker. And actually, if you're separating, you may be forced to take on a role that you're not familiar with. You may have to cook your own meals for the first time in your life. You may have to pay your own bills. And what we always talk to our clients about is getting the help and support to embrace that new role. Because actually, sometimes it can be very empowering. Maybe you haven't paid your own bills before, but maybe you've always wanted to. Maybe you wanted to choose where you go on holiday, you know, choose what car you drive, make decisions for yourself. So we like to look at things and support that we can give to empower our clients that are divorcing.
And what age group would you say kind of defines the later life mature client for divorce?
So I try not to put a particular age on things. And I think more along the lines of the stage in life that you have reached. So I would say later life, perhaps at the stage where if you have children, they're adults, you perhaps have retired or thinking of retiring, and you're about to embark upon a new phase of your life, rather than a specific age. That's a very lawyery answer, I think.
And going back to the point where you spoke about kind of the emotional side of it, how do you protect yourself emotionally, but also legally and financially as well when going through this process?
Yeah, so I mean, that's really, really important. And it's about getting the right people in and getting them in early. It's having advisors. So you're right, you're correct. Legal advisor, so someone who's the right fit for you. Getting financial advice, and also getting that emotional support as well. So speaking to your GP, having a referral for counselling, looking at the services that are available, that's all incredibly important, because knowledge is power. And if you have knowledge of your options, then you can make informed choices. You can start taking control. of a situation where you might feel completely out of control. You may feel that you're spiraling, but actually that little bit of information can help you pull it back.
Looking at kind of anything else that we've not picked up already, any extra kind of key things that we feel would affect somebody who's maybe in later life, emotionally, financially, or legally, against someone who may be in an earlier stage in their life? Is there anything else there that we might need to pick up on?
Yeah, so the one thing that I would say, and this probably links into what Emma discusses with her clients, is it is the views of the wider family and adult children that you have, and separating in your younger years when you have little children can obviously be difficult in itself. There are lots of issues that arise, but actually, even though your children are adults, it doesn't stop them from being your children, and they may very well have a view on separation. They may have a view on a new relationship that you enter into in later life. And I think managing that is incredibly important. And I would say the key to all of these things is communication. Having open channels of communication, but being confident in the decisions that you make for yourself, because ultimately you don't owe anybody an explanation. You don't have to do what your children want you to do. You know, you're an autonomous adult who's capable of making choices for yourself. And I would say people, particularly parents, are very often used to putting everybody else first and thinking of themselves last. And sometimes you've got to focus on yourself and making sure that you're okay. And actually then your children will follow. So that would be, you know, that would be my advice. Sometimes being a little bit selfish can be the right thing for your family.
Great. Thank you. And I think that kind of is really interesting point, isn't it? It's that open communication, making sure you're speaking with everybody, but ultimately it's what makes you happy, really. So I think it'd be really good to kind of explore the impact of later life divorce on estate planning. Emma, are you able to talk to us a little bit more on that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think following on from what Sarah was saying then is that obviously your life is changing considerably. I mean, Sarah made reference to things like, you know, people maybe have never cooked a meal for themselves or paid a bill. I mean, we see situations like that a lot. We see divorced, you know, later life clients who struggle because they don't understand their own finances. And although it can be empowering once somebody has gone through that process and they understand what they're looking at, it can also be quite scary at first to suddenly be faced with all of that. And it is really important to get the right advice and to get people that you trust and that you can rely on to help you through all that. So in conjunction with obviously the divorce process, people should look at things like financial advice and wills and lasting powers of attorney, and making sure that all those documents that they've had, or maybe they haven't had, but they should have had in place during their lifetime, are now correct for the change in circumstances. Because divorce doesn't invalidate things like wills and lasting powers of attorney, but it does mean that any appointment of the spouse is null and void. So you might end up with a situation where a will that you've made has then got big gaps and things in it. So all those things need to be reconsidered. So it's important when somebody has gone through that process to then sit and look at, you know, a will, for example, what's your situation now? Who are the people that you would want to benefit? Who do you want to be your executor? How are you going to benefit any of the remoter family members? And just really play it through for the new change in circumstances. I mean, the same for powers of attorney. The likelihood is you had your spouse as an attorney. That's obviously not going to be appropriate in most cases. And obviously, like I say, it makes that situation, that appointment, null and void. So you need to obviously think about making usually a new document, unless you have there's a contingency or something in place, just so that you've got all those protections in place. Because along, you know, what goes alongside feeling empowered is knowing that you have made those decisions and that you've got all those things in place if anything was to go wrong, that, you know, there is somebody that's going to look out for you. There is somebody that can act as an attorney for you, or ultimately when you pass away, somebody that is going to sort out your affairs for you. So it all goes totally hand in hand with going through that process of getting divorced. And like I say, although it can be scary for people, I think once they've been through that process, they've learned an awful lot from it. They understand a lot more about their own finances if they didn't already, and they've got that protection in place for future. So it is really important to consider those things.
And going kind of onto the point of, you know, people who have families and children involved and how that can impact people's decisions, do you kind of often find that can be a part of the process where there's impact on the kind of the children when people are thinking about the estate planning side of it and going through those next steps, and maybe touching on point, you know, inheritance and those kind of difficult things to think about?
Absolutely. I mean, it depends on the situation where when somebody gets divorced. But if you have an amicable divorce where somebody's been married for a long period of time and maybe they've got stepchildren or something as well, they might still feel that they want to benefit those stepchildren. They absolutely can. There's nothing to stop them doing that in their will. There might be, you know, I've even seen wills where people have still benefited former spouses. You know, there's nothing to stop people making those decisions. And like Sarah was saying, although ultimately it's up to the person to decide what they want to do, a lot of people do involve children because they want them to see what they're doing and be on board with the decision making, so that there's no surprises further down the line and no reason for people to get upset about things or not understand a decision that mum or dad has made, and just really have it very open. And I think that is a very, you know, that goes back to what we were saying before about good communication, is that does stop issues arising further down the line. You know, if somebody has chosen a particular person as their attorney and not chosen others, the others don't then get upset as to why they've made that decision. There's probably a perfectly good reason. But if everybody else knows about that, it makes the whole thing so much easier. So, I mean, my opinion would be that, you know, you talk to the family, even if you don't want to disclose the detail, so that you can prevent issues arising further down the line. Because the more elderly people get, the more they will be reliant on family sometimes, and the more they can feel, not persuaded, but, you know, sometimes that they need to do what the family want rather than what they want. Whereas if they have that open discussion, it's a lot more autonomous for them, that, you know, they feel like they're making that decision themselves, taking the lead, so to speak, rather than being persuaded to take a certain action, maybe.
Thanks, Sarah and Emma. It's such an interesting and complicated topic, and you certainly explained a lot today. We hope you found today's discussion useful. If you'd like to find out more, please have a look on ageco.co.uk.
AgeCo is 100% owned by Age UK and gives its profits to the charity